Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We're going to do a part five here, which will be our final part on this series of being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's been such many good things already spoken in the previous four parts, and it's even hard for me to want to even quit this series because there's so many good things still to be added. But, you know, they can come out in other parts as well. And we're going to tie this up with some things about, from the vantage point of, what does it mean not to be led by the Holy Spirit? Kind of give a contrast, as my sweetheart had mentioned, as a subject and direction to go with this podcast. And I agree, this sounds really like the way to go with this topic. So, of course, before we get into some of these scriptures, as is my custom, I want to introduce my beautiful, amazing, and wonderful wife, Miss Karina, Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. Always puts a smile on my heart and my face to hear such amazing introduction. Praise God. I want to take a moment to bless you. I want to take a moment to remind you how much the Lord loves you. And He has great plans for those that love Him and put their trust in Him. So I want to encourage you, don't just listen with the ears of your head. Listen with the ears of your heart, and let's just let the Holy Spirit teach us and reveal to us the things that He wants us to know and understand. But not just that, but also He wants us to actually walk in the knowledge of the truth that He is giving us today. God bless you guys.
Thank you, sweetheart. That's beautiful. We want to start out in Romans, and I want to go to the key verse that I've always started with, and then we were going to go from there. Romans 8, verse 14. And it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And of course, we know that means daughters as well. And so one of the key premises here is, if you are being led by the Spirit of God, this is evidence that you're a son and daughter of God. So when we said, what is the contrast to that? What does it mean to not be led by the Holy Spirit? Well, according to this verse, good indication that maybe you are not a son and daughter of God. I'm not saying that's saying this completely, because we know a lot of born-again Christians who have not yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because we know the Bible also tells us to the believer in Romans 12:2 to be ye transformed to the renewing of your mind. So it takes a renewing of their mind, in even in regard to this subject, being led by the Holy Spirit, that we need to become subjected to the leadership and lordship of Jesus Christ to follow His plan and His purpose for our lives. And we know that because the Lord makes emphasis on this in other scriptures, such as He says in Matthew 10:38, where He says, and I'll paraphrase, He says that if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow Me, He says, you are not worthy of Me. And so there's, you know, a consequence to this, where the Lord is not going to work and manifest Himself in one's life, even close to what they would think He would, if they're not willing to submit to Him and surrender to Him, to follow Him. So following is a very important part. So in that contrast is what we were talking about. What does it mean to not be led by the Holy Spirit? Well, we can say also, it also means to not to get direction from the Lord, and not to receive the manifestation of the things that somebody might be praying for. They might need healing, they might need deliverance, they might need guidance and direction. Well, we do need those things. But what I'm saying is, if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, then God's not going to lead you into the things that you're seeking Him after, because those are privileges and honors that God gives to people who serve Him. And so when He says, you're not worthy of Me if you don't take up your cross, then I put two and two together and see that He's not going to answer my prayer when I'm seeking Him for healing. Because if I'm not willing to surrender to Him, then why do I expect Him to work for me, to help me with things I need help with, if I'm not willing to help Him? So there's so many things to add to this, you know, in different veins. And so we want to, you know, try to hit on some of those things without going into a lot of detail about them, because some of these subjects will come up in other series. Like for example, being led by the Holy Spirit will also cause a person to be led into the knowledge and understanding of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, where those gifts can start manifesting in that person's life. And the gifts of the Spirit are very vital, because through those gifts is God's power to manifest those particular gifts in ways that a person needs. It may be a gift of healing. It may be a word of knowledge about a particular situation, a word of wisdom, of direction about which way to go. You maybe they're just trying to decide whether they should pack up and move and head on the other side of the world, you know, and a word of wisdom will give them direction. We can see this through scriptures, and we'll get into that in more detail in that series when we're going to do that later about the gifts of the Spirit. But see, that's one of the great benefits there. And so there's many others about being led by the Holy Spirit. So like I said, in contrast to this, what it's like not to be led by the Holy Spirit means you're not going to be led in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because you're not going to make yourself available to God's leading. I mean, how can, you know, say we can fault God for not providing an answer to our prayer or bringing healing or whatever it is we need from him if we're not willing to follow his way of achieving things? Because he has a pathway and a roadway for us to go to get somewhere. If you were to ask him, you know, say you're in Pennsylvania like we are, and say, I want to know how to get to Los Angeles, and you have no clue what highways or interstates to travel, and so you ask somebody to show you, but yet you're not willing to take their advice, you're not willing to seek their counsel, then you're really on your own, you know. So with God, it's the same way. You know, if we're not willing to subject ourselves to his leading, then how will we expect him to give us answers to things that we need if we're not going to follow the way he wants us to do things?
That's true. This is so good. And I know that our listeners, I'm sure, that already have received so much from the Holy Spirit from the prior podcast. And we always encourage you, don't just listen to the current one. Go back and listen to the previous ones, because the Holy Spirit is so generous with his revelation, with the knowledge that he imparts, with his teaching. And he knows exactly how to speak to each one of us. You know, when I hear this topic about not being led by the Holy Spirit, it's honestly scary. And the first thing that we need to make clear is that we're talking about the people who already gave their hearts to the Lord. So we're talking about the children of God. And I know you mentioned prior that if you are not being led, then it's most likely that you're not a child of God. But we want to speak to those that have given their heart to the Lord, those that are children of God, but you've just decided, you know, that no, I just want to get to heaven. I'm just going to do my own thing. And what comes to mind is, like, for example, a household. You know, you have parents and you have children, most likely. And there is a time, there is an age where, for some reason, I don't know why, it's like the teenage years. You just feel like you know it all. And your parents can give you an advice. They can give you a leading. They can tell you, this is how this has to get done. You know, you already are a son. And the most proper thing would be for you to actually listen to your parents, right, to their guidance, and for them to lead you on what to do on certain circumstances. Why? Because they love you, and because they have your best interest in mind, and because they are older, so they know more than you. But what happens is that the child, the teenager, sometimes does his own thing and is not being led by the parents' guidance, the parents' wisdom. So taking that example comes to mind also when we go to the doctor and we get a prescription. You know, that prescription is pretty specific, and it tells you take 2 per day, take 3 per day. If you say, you know what, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm just going to take whatever I want. It's going to harm you. So it is good, it is healthy for us to follow the leading of those people once again that have a greater knowledge than us in certain areas, right? And that they're trying to help us. And so if we do that in our natural walk, how much more the leading of the Holy Spirit when we say, well, you know what? I'm just going to say a practical example. You know what? I know that, you know, abortion is wrong. And I know God doesn't want that, but I'm going to do my own thing. And you don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit because it's in the Bible. You know, it's not that you have to wait for a voice to come or an earthquake to shake your house for you to know that God is manifesting his will to you. The Holy Spirit guides us by what is already written in the Word. If you know that you are a man and you think that you may want to be a woman, and the Holy Spirit is leading you and telling you, no, I made you a man. So if we decide to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit and do our own thing, ignore his wisdom, ignore his love, then we are going to suffer consequences. So when you said initially, what does it look like? What does it mean not to be led by the Holy Spirit? I can raise my hand and I can remember a couple of times where I specifically, and to my shame, I specifically knew that it was not the Lord's will, and I did it anyway. And I suffered consequences to that, you know. So even though I was at that time already a child of God, it happens that you know that the Holy Spirit is leading you another way, but you decide to do it your way, you know. And the Holy Spirit, he is so good. He's so patient. But you know what he's not? He's not an abuser. He's not going to force himself upon us. He's not going to violate our will. And if he's leading us and nobody can say, oh, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if it was God. No. I mean, I'm speaking for myself because I would be very hypocritical to say, well, I wasn't sure. I knew for sure that the Holy Spirit was guiding me about this, and I went ahead anyway, you know. And so the Holy Spirit knows how to speak to us. There is no way that we can justify or claim ignorance. The Holy Spirit knows that we know, and he convicts us in a very personal way. But it's all out of love. And you know, shame on us, right? Shame on me that knowing his love for me, that I would consciously, boldly, without shame, just do the opposite of what he's telling me to do, you know. But there are consequences. There are consequences. So the beauty of this, actually us talking about this, it's not to claim greater holiness or greater, you know, other levels higher than others, than our listeners. No, we're in this walk together. And what we're doing is that we're not asking the listeners to believe our opinion, because it's not our opinion. We're asking, hey guys, let's read the Word of God together. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, how can we learn? What does this passage teach us? Where are you in your walk? Let me tell you what happened when I was walking in those roads. Let me tell you what works and what doesn't work. Let me tell you what the fruit of disobedience is versus the fruit of obedience. And this is what we're doing. We're walking together because we're all in the same race. It's manifesting in different ways, but we're all going towards the same goal, which is to be transformed in the image of Jesus, and just looking forward to have an abundant life here on earth with the knowing, not the hopes, the knowing that one day we're going to be home forever and ever.
Amen, sweetheart. It's so beautiful, beautifully said. And, it makes me think about, this topic in that regard about what, as a contrast, what does it mean not to be led by the Holy Spirit? Sometimes you can learn just as much about what not to do mm-hmm. as you do about what to do.
That's true.
And, like you were saying, many of us also have fallen into that same, situation as in my past years ago. I knew certain things that the Lord was speaking to me not to do, and I did them anyway because I wanted to do them because I didn't want to do what he said. I wanted what I wanted. So many people fall into that category. But at the same time, some people fall into the category also where they believe God, just like their parents, that they don't know what they're talking about.
That's true.
That they're smarter than them. They don't know. Mm-hmm. What do they know? And so the same way it goes, they think, well, God doesn't understand my situation. He don't know me.
These are new times.
He don't know.
Right? Yeah.
Even that, like these are new times. Things have changed, and some of those things, the principles of the word, of moral conduct and living, well, those are, that's been superseded, that's past, that's not relative to today's society, but yet the Bible is timeless.
That's right.
The word of God is truth, and until a person understands that, they're not going to change the way they think, because if they think everything is truth is relative, then even what you believe is truth today, 5 years from now, you may believe something else. Because if it's always able to change all the time, then what kind of foundation do you really have? Imagine society built upon those rules that constantly everything is changed. The speed limit changes anytime somebody wants it to. Or the laws of, breaking and entering. Well, it's not illegal anymore to break in someone's house.
Hmm.
We have our security in laws that are fixed, and knowing that the law is fixed, that if somebody were to break into my house, that it's still legal for them to do so, that they will be arrested and go to jail. And, many still do, but you know what? There's a lot of people who don't, because that's a deterrent for them, knowing there's a punishment that will come.
That's true.
I'm not the one to, throw out things out there to try to scare people, but at the same time, we need to be sober. We need to think accordingly as the word tells us to think, that there are consequences to not being led by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And we see this in the previous verse, the one that I opened up with, where I opened up with Romans 8:14, for it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But in that previous verse, in verse 13, it says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Let that sink in for a minute. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, meaning you're being led by the Spirit, you're living by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the flesh or body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So there's a consequence. Death is the consequence. Death in so many different ways. Say, death by a thousand paper cuts,
mm-hmm.
you can be dying in all kinds of ways without having to die. You can be suffering depression,
right.
Anxiety. You can be suffering financial ruin. You can be suffering all kinds of things that actually for some people think, well, it'd be better to die than have to suffer a lot of those things. So death has many avenues and aspects that can operate in a person's life. Because when Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly, but the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and destroy, that death that he's bringing is death in a million different ways. It's very depressing to think of a person who would be willing to want to live that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, and when you said that verse, who came to mind? Adam. When the Lord said, don't eat from that tree because you will certainly die. When he did eat from the tree, he didn't physically die, but he died pretty much. And what he had, it was lost. But praise God, because what Adam and Eve lost in the garden, Jesus Christ came to regain and redeem at the cross. But, when you were saying about different ways to die, Do you know that there is one way that people die, and sometimes we don't see the correlation? And it's that when we, let me put it the other way. Let me present it the way we are presenting it about not being led by the Spirit. When we are not being led by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter if you just won the lottery. It doesn't matter if, whatever it is, there is a part inside of you that is not in peace with God.
Amen.
And so there is no way that you can be walking in joy when you are not being led by the Spirit. When you and I are doing our own thing and we're taking our own roads and, you know, making our own decisions, regardless, not taking into account God's direction, His will, what He wants. No, I don't care about that. I'm just doing my own thing. It doesn't matter if you're a comedian. It doesn't matter if you spend 50% of your day laughing. There is no way that you can have true peace or joy if you are not being led by the Spirit. Because there, and I'm talking now about those of us who are children of God. Because, of course, those who are not children of God, you can't have peace regardless. You can have good days, what seems like better days, but not peace. But those of us who already are in the covenant, who belong to the Lord, who have been washed by the blood, who have a promise, who have a race to race, and we are not being led by the Spirit, we're not rendering, we are resisting what God is speaking to us inside, there's no way that we can have joy, peace. There isn't. And I'm wondering if the level of depression, of suicide, of, you know, anxiety has some correlation. God forbid, or far be me for me to say, oh, you know, if you have some kind of anxiety, it's because you're not being led. No, I want to be very careful about that, because Amen. As we've spoken many times, sometimes there are many chemical imbalances. There are true physiological reasons for these things. But I'm wondering if maybe the fear that sometimes overtakes our heart, it's better to be led. And so the question may be presented. I'm more than somebody to say, okay, I got it, guys. Okay, what do I need to do to be led? What do I need to do? Okay, I haven't. Like, personally, there was a season that I wasn't being led by the Spirit. And then what do I need to do to get back on track?
As those are very good questions. And, you know, maybe people need to ponder those things for a moment, because, you know, in order to be led by the Spirit, we really have to start with the foundation of wanting to be led.
That's true.
And if we're wanting to be led, then what does that require of us? Is there a requirement there? And we would say, of course, because of the fact is, you know, if you're wanting to be led, that means you're following somebody else's lead.
Right.
And that would be the Lord. And if you're following His lead, then that means you're going where He's going. You're doing what He's doing or saying. And you're subjected to what He says in obedience. Because like if somebody says, okay, I'll look to you as a, you know, a mentor, a tour guide or whatever, you know, and it can help me get to my destination, you know. Many people go on these safari trips in Africa, or they go, you know, on these adventure hikes through the Amazon, and generally most all of them will have tour guides. But when they start distrusting the tour guide and say, you know what, I think I know better. I can find my way through this jungle better than he can. Mm-hmm. And that's a dangerous place to be, is to not recognize the wisdom of the tour guide, you know, who lived there, knows the territory, knows the terrain, knows the pitfalls, mm-hmm. knows the dangers, knows the things coming up. This is who God is. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about our future. He knows everything about the environment we live in. Who better can guide us than Him?
That's
and
right.
When we first don't trust Him, then we're really at a major disadvantage, because we're on our own. And then when things happen, then, you know, people want to say, well, why didn't God intervene? Well, were you listening to his guidance? Did you subject yourself to follow him? Well, so who's he supposed to be to you then? You have to ask yourself that question. And some people need to hear it like this. Who is he to you? Is he someone you just believe that it is in heaven and he'll save you when you die? So who is he to you here on the earth through your life? Is he someone you're willing to subject yourself to, submit yourself to follow what he wants? Oh, well, no, I don't know about all that. You know, somebody might say, because, you know, I don't want to give up this or that, because you know what? Jesus says desires for other things that choke out the word. And what word? Well, this particular word here about being led by the Holy Spirit and what that means. Because a lot of times people say things that they don't really have taken the time to evaluate the meaning of it and what it entails. What does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? We said it means to be subjected to, but what does that mean to be subjected to? Well, like I said, probably when one of the first podcasts of this series, or one of the first few, I said, you know, it does very little good to say you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, but you're unwilling to do what he says, to obey him.
That's true.
You know, you have to come with that mindset that if I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit, I'm the follower, he's the leader, he's the one who gives the direction, he's the one who gives the commands, he's the one who leads my life, and that means I have to follow him, and in order to follow him, I have to do what he says.
Whatever he says goes.
Whatever he says goes. He's the boss. Mm. So that's really what it means there, because, you know, people say, well, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. You know what? For many people, I believe he's made them Savior, because they want to be saved from their sins. But Lord, that's a whole nother thing. They haven't made him Lord at all, because they have not subjected themselves to him to be their boss so that anything he says goes. They don't read the word to find out what it says to do. They just think, well, you know, as long as you love God and love people or whatever, you're a good Christian. That makes you a good Christian. Well, what he considers good is obedience, because he said if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. He says this in John 14:21, that if you keep my commandments, it's he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So
amen.
Where there's the Lord not manifesting himself to them, that's generally an indication that that person's not being led by his Spirit. Because he's not manifesting himself to them, because they're not following what he says. You know, how's he going to manifest direction to you? Get out of that burning building if you've already tuned him out and changed the channel in your mind that you're not going to listen to him because you're not wanting to take any of his advice because you don't want to do what he says to do. You know, like a number of years ago, I was in that position, you know, and he was clearly speaking to me of something I was wanting to do, not to do it ahead of time. And I'm like, I wouldn't want to hear that.
Hmm.
And so I thought about it for a few moments, and I don't know that I really thought too much about the consequences, but I thought to myself, well, I don't want to do that. And I'm going to do what I'm wanting to do. And I did, and I suffered a consequence for that. And so, you know what? God in his mercy, thank God. But you know what? Sometimes consequences can have some fatal results. So I'm not saying these things to scare people, but I'm saying this, you know, to think soberly. You know, what is it like not being led by the Holy Spirit? It's not getting direction when you need it. And you can be in a very tenuous or dangerous situation that you have not been listening to God all that time, and now you're expecting him to bail you out. You have no right to actually expect that. Now, in his mercy, he might, but you know what? We know a lot of people that doesn't happen to, because they have not made it a lifestyle to submit to him, and they've already dulled their senses, you might say, where their ability to hear him has become so dull they can't even tell what he's speaking to them, because they've already learned to tune him out. So that's very important. So like I said, there's a whole lot more things to be said about this, and we'll pick this up in other broadcasts as well, another series, you know, because everything really ties back together.
Absolutely. It's one word.
Yeah.
The word of God. That's right.
Discipleship is about following, and being led by the Holy Spirit is about following.
Mm-hmm.
Submitting is about following. Believing the word of God is about following. All these things play into this thing. So everything is interconnected through the word of God.
And the Holy Spirit, you know, when he is leading us, the first thing that he does, obviously, as we know, is that he directs us to Jesus. And in his leading reminds us, or better yet, shows us, teaches us, reveals to us that we were sinners before coming to the Lord. And the first thing he does is that he shows us the love of the Father. And I think a lot of people, even people who don't claim to be Christians, know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. And that's so important. The Holy Spirit points to the love of the Father, that he so loved you. And that what did he do? He gave his only son. He gave Jesus to come to the cross so that if you, when you believe in what he did in the cross for you, then you will have everlasting life. He'll forgive you. And the Holy Spirit, that is part of his leading. To the non-believer, that's the first leading that the Holy Spirit provides. And it's leading you, directing you to Jesus, to the cross. That's the first step. And then once we are believers, as it says here in Romans 6, you and I were just reading this verse before, verse 22. You know, there are steps. There is a pattern. There is a process. There are things that God wants to accomplish with us. He doesn't just save us and then leave us, abandon us, make us orphans. No, he's a father, a good father. And he takes responsibility so that we may have abundant life and we may go to heaven. So he makes it his personal responsibility to take care of us, but we have to let him take care of us, right? So here it says that once he frees us from sin, now he expects the sanctification. He takes us to this process. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Once we get our sins forgiven, have our sins forgiven, then he expects us to let him start the sanctification process, which is making us more to Jesus, like Jesus. And then what is the last step? It's actually going to heaven here, as it says, eternal life. And we do encourage you, give your life to the Lord if you haven't done so. And if you already are a Christian, consider what you've heard. Consider what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And especially, you know, sometimes we don't think so, but there are other people who are depending even on our walk. Other people who are watching. For example, if you're a parent and you are not being led by the Holy Spirit and you don't think that going to church and reading the word is important, well, guess what? That is going to not only affect you, that's going to affect also your children, the members of your household. It's going to affect directly your home, your spouse. So being led by the Holy Spirit is such a good, not only a good thing, it's the best thing that can possibly happen to you after giving your life to the Lord. So this is a very important, serious, life-changing, game-changer topic, but something that cannot remain only as head knowledge. This has to be seriously considered, and it has to be done now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, sweetheart, that you just said something that's very powerful, because, you know, what we do, oftentimes people don't think of the consequences to themselves, but certainly they say, well, okay, well, if there is consequences, well, then it's on me. I don't care. Who cares?
True. I've heard that.
But yet, the consequences of not being led by the Holy Spirit is going to have consequences for others.
That's right.
And you know, when we're not doing our part, we're not helping bring other people into the kingdom of God. Do you want to be responsible for those who don't make it to heaven, who go to hell? You know, as one man had a vision, talked about heaven, and he said, Jesus showed him a lot of empty seats. He said, these are the seats of the that should be filled by people. but they're not. And you know what? We're going to be accountable before God for those who didn't make it into the kingdom that we were supposed to influence for the benefit of coming into the kingdom that we would have influenced for them coming in. And I don't want to be, I don't want to hear that from the Lord that I failed and people are in hell because of my selfishness. Because really being led by the Holy Spirit is about not being selfish. Being doing what he wants us to do because he knows best. So when we think we know best, we're being selfish and we're not thinking about anyone else but ourselves.
God is so good. And you know what? There is a peace and a joy that awaits you. So he wants you to seriously today just make that decision, just surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you because his ways is a way of life. There is no way that you and I can decide, make any better decisions than the things that the Holy Spirit brings our way. And his ideas aren't just good ideas. The Holy Spirit's leading is the best ideas.
Amen. Well, we want to end this broadcast here, and we want to thank everybody for listening. And we bless you. We also mentioned about we have an email, keithandkarina25@gmail.com, and we would like for you to write to us if you desire to offer your prayer requests, your testimonies or questions or anything for that matter, comments. We welcome it and we bless you and we say we'll see you next time.
See you then. God bless you.
Bye-bye.